1 Kings 19. This was a king, King Ahab. He told his wife Jezebel all that Elijah, who was a prophet, he told him all that Elijah had done. Also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. There was a showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. They went up on a mountain and they said, hey, let's see whose God is the one true God. And they put a big old pile of sticks there in the middle and they said, ask your God to bring down fire from heaven. And the prophets of Baal, they danced and they cried and they screamed and they worshiped around their pile for hours. They even began to cut themselves to try to get the attention of their God Baal, asking him to bring down fire. And Elijah, he comes out and he says, pour water on the pile. And so they pour water on the pile. They praise a simple prayer to the Lord, and the Lord brings down fire from heaven. And there's no doubt who the one true God is. And so what does he do? He tells the people, we're going to slaughter the prophets of Baal, the liars, the deceivers. Ahab and Jezebel, they had established worship to Baal. They had established these prophets of Baal. And so Ahab, he goes and he tells Jezebel everything that Elijah had done. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I don't make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life and he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. He sat down under a broom tree and he prayed that he might die. He was hopeless. We've been talking about red flags. If you've been feeling like you have no hope, I want you to know. That's a check engine light. That's a red flag. Because when you're walking in Christ, when you are in Christ, let me tell you something, there's always hope. And so if you're beginning to feel hopeless and feel drained out, I'm telling you, that is a demonic attack on your life. The devil wants you to feel hopeless. The devil wants you to give up. The devil wants you to feel like you'd be better off dead than going on any longer. That's a check engine light. That's a red flag. Sometimes we get so busy and we're doing so much and we're constantly running from place to place and we can do all these things and they can be good things. But if we forget to rest in his presence, calm and quiet our souls again. Eventually, we get to this place where we're worn out and tired and we got no place to go and we're on the run and we just want to be done. But you need to know something. There's help and there's hope in that moment. I just believe for so many people in here today, you're here today. And this house, where you're at right now, it's a broom tree. A broom tree, it's a tree out in the desert, and it provides shade. It's one of the few trees that can grow in the desert. He lived in a desert place. There weren't a lot of trees around, but when you find a broom tree, it's a shady spot, and it's relief from the heat. It's relief from the desert in a dry wasteland. And you might feel like you've just been running through the dry wasteland all week. But you just got to the house and you found shade today. And you found a place where you could just sit and rest. That's what this place is. That's what God's house is intended for. It's not something to just check off the box and say, oh, good, I did something. I went to church. I'm doing all these good things. No. He just invites you into a place of rest. Because your soul is so wearied and hurried and worn down, you forgot that you're not God and that you need, guess what? God took a Sabbath. God took a rest On the seventh day, he rested. But for some reason, we think we can just go and go and go, and we never just sit and rest in his presence. We don't Sabbath. And that catches up to us. Because we think we're God of our lives, and we just keep going because we got to grind and we got to do it all. And I'm telling you, it will catch up to you sooner or later. Practice the Sabbath. Sit in his presence. And let him just heal you. We're so uncomfortable with silence that sometimes when we just sit in a moment, I could feel it in the room, when we just sit in the moment and we have a moment of silence in the room, we get uncomfortable because we're not used to it. But when you sit in the silence, you leave space, you leave margin for him to come in. So even this week, as you begin to seek him, I would just challenge you, start today and go every day this week and just sit with him. Set a timer on your phone for 2 minutes and just sit with him in silence and solitude and just listen for his voice. Just begin to notice his presence. Just begin to see how he shows up. And I know there's some people in here that are going to say, I got ADHD or I got this, or I got that. I can't do that. It's impossible. I'm telling you, it's possible. If you'll just sit and if you'll just command your soul and take back the authority he's given you and say, no, I'm going to sit and I'm going to rest and I'm going to listen, he'll come in and begin to heal. It says in 1 Kings 19, verse 5, that he lay down and slept under a broom tree. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Just when you're ready to die, to give up, to be done in this world, suddenly he shows up and there's provision. For some of you in here, it's been a lack of provision in your life. You feel like there's no provision. It's not coming. And let me just give you some hope today. It's going to happen suddenly. It will. He's the God of suddenly. And he's just going to show up in the driest, most deserted place, and you think there's nobody around and nobody cares. And I'm telling you, suddenly, it's going to happen. He's going to provide shade, and he's going to provide food, and he's going to provide water. He's going to give you bread and water. That's what he does. He's going to give you everything you need. And suddenly you're going to realize, oh, no. He's the God that shows up right on time. Just when I needed him. And if I would just learn to sit and Sabbath and rest and stop trying to do it out of my own power, stop trying to do it out of my own will and my own strength, 7 days a week, 24 hours every day, grind after grind, year after year, if I would just learn to Sabbath and rest in his presence, I will begin to see him show up and provide. He can do more in 6 than you can do in 7. Ask Chick-fil-A. I'm serious. There's a guy from Taco Bell, like the CEO of Taco Bell, a few years at a business conference. He said, it doesn't make sense. We're open one extra day a week. Every week, 52 weeks a year than this company. But this company is out work. They're outdoing us in every category. They're out profiting us. They're out everything. They're better than us. It doesn't make sense because that's God. That's him. Sabbath. When you go home today, everything that you thought you had to do today, take it off your list. Take care of your family. Love your family. Encourage them. Take care of your wife. Take care of your husband. Like, be together. But everything that you just thought today, man, I got to get this done. I need to do this. I got a deadline coming up. I got to have this done. Just give him till the sun goes down. From sun up to sundown, just give him that moment. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. Food and water out in the desert, out in the middle of nowhere. It doesn't make sense. It's miraculous. So he ate and drank and lay down again. If you want to give up, if you want to be dead, if you want to be gone, if you feel worried and hurried all the time, I'm telling you, first of all, you just need to lay down and rest. Stop drinking 3 or 4 energy drinks to just stay up all night so you can be productive. Let me tell you something. You're going to be more productive if you'll just begin to let your body detox from the caffeine and begin to rest and go to sleep when your body is tired. Listen to your body. He designed your body. He gave you the body. Begin to trust what he is telling you through your own body, through the flesh. He's saying you can't do it anymore out of your own power, out of your own will, out of that Mountain Dew or Surge or whatever you're drinking. Stop trying to grind with that stuff. I'm better fuel than anything they can provide. Just begin to listen to the body that he gave you. He designed it that way. He designed you for rest. Then the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." He's on a journey. It's too great for you. Out of your own power, out of your own striving, you can't do this journey. You can't go on your own anymore. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. There's hope when you feel hopeless. Isaiah 43, verse 18, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praises." He's doing a new thing. Stop looking back at the old things. Trust what he's doing in this season. Trust that there's a new thing springing forth. Continue to walk with him in this season. Malachi 3:1, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." Keep seeking him, because he's going to suddenly show up. "Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." If you feel hopeless, if you feel pessimistic, if you feel negative, if you feel like the glass is half empty, that's a red flag, because he's always doing a new thing. There's always hope in Christ. Ephesians 2, 11 through 13, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." We've got hope because of the blood of Christ. There's hope. You feel like you're caught in that cycle of hopelessness and you want to give up. You feel stressed, you feel anxious, you feel worried, you feel mad, you feel angry. The littlest things set you off and you explode on the people that you love the most. You're sarcastic, you're petty, you hold a grudge, and it just leaks out constantly. And you try to hold it in, but it just keeps coming out of you. You're resentful, you're bitter. But more than anything else today, you just feel that sense of hopelessness, and you feel like you're done and there's no point in going forward. I want to tell you today, just calm yourself in his presence. You might be caught, but you're not dead yet. You might be stuck in a trap, but I'm telling you, he wants to release you and set you free today. You're caught, but you're not dead. Proverbs 6:2, "You are snared, you're caught by the words of your mouth. You're taken by the words of your mouth." What are you speaking over your life? Are you speaking faith, or are you speaking negative? Are you speaking hopelessness? Are you just saying, "Oh, this is the end. This is terrible. It's all over." No, no, no. Stop speaking that. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Begin to speak faith in the hopeless situation. Begin to speak faith over the darkness. Begin to speak the light over the lies. Don't be snared by the words of your mouth. Breathe in his presence today and begin to speak faith over the situation. And that might seem foolish. It might seem foolish to speak faith over your marriage today. To say, oh, I see you're doing a new thing, Lord. I see it. I see it. But really, in the flesh and in your mind, you just feel like, no. It is falling apart. It's crumbling. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. You might just see in the flesh, but I'm telling you, I want you to see in the spirit today and begin to speak faith. You won't feel like it, but just begin to declare it and say, I don't know what you're doing, Lord, but I trust you, and I believe that you're going to bring something good out of this today. God, I just see my marriage and I see this relationship and it just looks like a wreck. It looks like a shipwreck and it looks like there's no hope going forward. And God, it'd be better off if you took me or if you took her. But I want you to just declare faith over today and just believe that God is doing a new thing. He is. You might see it in your kids. You might see it in a relationship, in a friendship, and you might be struggling to believe that he's doing a new thing, but just begin to speak faith in that place and say, God, I trust you, and I just believe it's going to happen suddenly. He's the God of all of a sudden. He's the God, I told you this a few weeks back, church, he's the God of erosion. Because that's what water does, right? When the water keeps hitting the same spot time after time, and it just keeps going, and it just keeps flowing. Eventually, even the rocks will break. Even the rocks will cry out. And I'm just believing, even the hardest hearts are going to break. Even in those moments when you think, no, they're never going to get it. They're never going to understand. Or maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. Sometimes we're so busy looking out, we forget it's us. And you're here, and you're sitting, you're thinking about everybody else. But God wants you to know, no, it's you. You have a heart of stone. If you'll just say, Lord, I want to receive your water today. I want to receive your spirit. I'm just believing that the erosion has been happening, that his word has just been wearing down the stone, and it's going to take place today, and that the rocks are going to break, and that the rocks are going to cry out. There's going to be people in this room that when we worship today, they've never raised their hands, they've never worshiped, they've never said anything, they've never even sang out anything. They've just sat there like statues, like stones in worship, day after day, Sunday after Sunday, and they said, no, that's not me. I don't worship because I only do what I feel like doing. And today, it's just going to break, and you're just going to know in your spirit, I'm going to worship because he's worthy. And I'm going to declare it because I know I don't want a rock to cry out. I want to cry out. The stones are going to cry out. Believe that today. It's going to happen all of a sudden. Some of you, you've been praying for a prayer language, a heavenly language, and it just hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen all of a sudden today. You want to pray in the spirit, and guess what? He's a good father. He's not going to give you a scorpion or a snake. He's going to give you good gifts, and praying in the spirit's a gift. And so if you just ask him today, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Invite him in today. Don't be snared by the words of your mouth anymore. Don't speak doubt. Don't speak the lies of the enemy. Don't speak skepticism. Don't speak any of that over your life. No, just begin to speak faith. Even though you don't see it and you don't feel it, you just begin to speak it, and all of a sudden, things are going to change, and stones are going to break. Worship team, I'll invite you up as we get ready here. We just see over and over. The devil tries to trap us. He sets these snares, these traps. And we see it in Scripture. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You might have been a captive when you came in, but you're walking out free. I just believe that. Psalm 141, verse 8. But my eyes are upon you, O God, the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I escape safely. Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, Then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The streams would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 91, verse 3. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Every trap, every snare, he wants to set you free from today. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Malachi 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Yeah. Just keep seeking him. This week, just seek him. Just show up, even when it feels like he's far, just show up and spend time with him in his presence. Invite him in, ask him, Lord, just speak. I want to listen, I want to walk in obedience to you. Keep returning. Just begin to invite him into your heart. Just pray this prayer. Just say, Jesus, I want more of you. Jesus, I just want to come near to you, Lord. Next week, we're going to set up the baptistry right out here, and we've got one baptism scheduled already. She just felt in her heart. She wanted to be obedient to the Lord, and she knows it's a step of obedience. If that's something you've been feeling stirred up on, you've just been feeling like, man, I need to take that step of obedience, reach out to us this week. Let us know. The baptistry's going to be set up. It's going to be ready. We're going to have it out anyway. Sometimes it's just taking that first step to just, that's all repentance is. It's just saying, I'm going to go back the other way. I've been going down the world's ways. I'm done with that, and I want to seek him. Repent and be baptized. All you're doing is coming home. It's not shameful. It's not. The devil wants you to feel shame and guilt. And I'm telling you, there's no shame. There's no condemnation in Christ. There's conviction. And I just feel that today. If you're feeling convicted, like you just need a return and you need to go home to him, you can do that. And for some of you in here, maybe it's that, taking that first step of saying, I've never been baptized. I want to be obedient to what his word says. His word says to repent and be baptized. It's simple. Just ask him. Ask him to give you a step of obedience this week. Just something. And whatever begins to well up inside of you, trust that it's coming from him. Trust that he is speaking. Trust that you're a son, that you're a daughter, that he loves you, that he wants to speak to you, and that he wants to just keep breaking off the stone. And he wants to give you a heart of flesh. Proverbs, it says, the fear of man is a snare. Father, I just pray right now that the fear of man would be broken off us. That we'd stop caring about what people think and we would just start caring only about what you think, about what you say, about what your word declares. That we would just begin to take your word more seriously. That we would turn back to you. That we would turn back to your ways. That we'd begin to read your word and let it change us and transform us. That we would let it form our everything, our entire being. That we would let it form every decision we make. Jesus, I pray that we would be a people formed by your word. In your name we pray. Amen.